If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Our Wednesday Bible study is addressing bitterness. Every caregiver at some time in their walk, they need care. And so God had me talk to a person who, when the weight of ministry and things starts getting overwhelming, I go to this therapist, to this doctor, and we just talk. You know, he doesn't prescribe anything. Every now and then he does give me a prescription that says you need to take a week off and go to Disney World. But Blue Cross won't pay for that. But anyway, we were talking one day, and while we were talking, I took my hands and put them under my thighs, and I sat on them. And he said, Eric, why did you do that? I said, because I'm getting ready to punch you in the mouth. He said, why? I said, you just touched a nerve, something that I thought was buried, that was still providing energy for other areas of my life. And it wasn't until Dr. Ferriello talked to me that I saw it, and I became resentful. I didn't go for 2 weeks. I was angry. Then I came back, and he says, how do you feel? And we talked it through. I've been encountering people who have attended our Wednesday Bible study who feel that way because they did not know that there was a root of bitterness that was hindering the flow of God. We examine Job chapter 7, where he expresses his bitterness towards God. And people were coming to me with tears in their eyes because they were bitter towards God. God didn't kill you. He sent you to Wednesday night Bible study so you can find out why the enemy has so much access to your life. Last week, I was on the road driving to a place called Furlong, Buckingham. I was driving up there and I was thinking about today, and I wanted to address the issue of making you fall away proof. So I'm driving up the road and I get to Street Road, going up York Road, I get to Street Road. And I say, oh boy, this is good. And I always keep some paper with me. And I'm writing stuff down between lights. People think I'm texting, but I'm writing stuff the Holy Spirit gives me. And once I crossed over Street Road, the Holy Spirit began to say something else. And he had about 20 minutes to talk to me. Ezekiel chapter 34 says, I'm angry with you shepherds because you don't feed my people. Ezekiel 34 is a passage that God gives to the shepherds of Israel and tells them that those who are walking in the office of shepherd, they need to understand your task is to feed the people the word of God. And I'll show you how important that is to God. In Jeremiah, he says, I'm going to give you shepherds who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. And so that feeding is critical to your development. Then God was just really talking to me, and we started looking at your communities, your world, your life. I came up during a time when Westerns were prevalent. All movies ended with the good guys winning. There was a clear teaching that right will always overpower wrong. There was strong imagery. All the good guys wore white, all the bad guys wore black. And no matter how the bad guy rose to the top in the beginning, you can be sure that they would lose in the end. Roy Rogers, Audie Murphy, the Lone Ranger. They gave us this impression that there would always be help and hope. So our generation was just a little bit more connected to the image that you can always have hope. I would watch John Wayne, and whenever he played in a Western, the image of the Indian, they were always bloodthirsty savages. They would scream and they would come and encircle the wagon trains and the people who were trying to live out west. And inevitably, the Indians would always outnumber the settlers. That would go on for about 75% of the movie. But towards the end, you'd have the Conestoga wagon, and the lady would be inside the wagon loading the Winchester, shoveling snow, putting out trash. And Western women, they were biblical women. Cooking, making bread. That's another sermon. Pastor Gray's going to talk about that at marriage, because he gets people that's been married under 5 years. They still cook. The man would be under the wagon shooting the Winchester at the Indians, and you know, he could hit the Indian, and it was great. But then you would look at it and you would see the Indians would just overwhelm the wagon. If it was your first movie, you were a bit despondent because you thought the Indians would win. But if you had any experience in watching those movies, you knew that towards the end, the cavalry would come. You would hear the sound of the bugle in the distance. And there would be a degree of happiness that would come to you, because Hollywood had painted such a negative picture of the Indian that you couldn't wait until those soldiers came to kill all those Indians. And there was always somebody left of the settlement to tell the story. After you saw the first one, you became indoctrinated with the fact that there was always hope. That inevitably someone would come to free you of your oppressors. In fact, if you look at history, in every dispensation of history, there's always been a deliverer, whether saved or not. There's always been someone to instill hope in that generation. For the baby boomers, we were born after Franklin Roosevelt. Baby boomers are 46 to 66. And so those of you that were born within that range, you came after FDR. But your parents and your grandparents remembered the fireside chats. They remembered his booming voice every Saturday to instill hope in a nation that was clawing its way out of the greatest depression that they've ever faced. Our generation, we didn't have a whole lot of hope. We just kept walking in what our parents provided for us because they successfully emerged from the Depression. They taught us principles that would guide us through life. They taught us how to save money. They taught us how to take care of ourselves. They taught us to properly respect authority. In short, they weren't trying to build great people. They were trying to create good citizens. After the 50s, with the communist scare, McCarthyism, and communism became such a scare for America that the FBI went on a tangent, trying to just stain everybody. We, those of us that were Canaanites, we had our own struggles. We were trying to find a place in this great nation that was uniquely ours, and we were denied. Racism was reaching its apex, and we didn't have a whole lot of hope. As a nation, we were fragmented, we were disjointed, if I may use that term. We just could not seem to get it together. After emerging as victors of World War II, we were now thrust into the Korean conflict, and this was the first war that did not have a distinguishable purpose for us. We could not understand the 39th parallel. We could not grasp why we were fighting. We couldn't even call it a war. It was a police action. No declaration of war had been issued. For the first time in the existence of this country, we were involved in something that was taking lives without purpose. This was the first military conflict that did not have a song. World War I, we had songs. Over there, we're going over. And we won't come back till it's over, over there. World War II, we had don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me. But in Korea, we had no songs. Nothing to pull us together. Our hope began to diminish. After Korea, the nation was torn between communism and Americans. Ethel and Julius Rosenberg were imprisoned for communist espionage and electrocuted without definable proof. Things were going badly for us. Ike was a good general, but he proved to be a less than favorable administrator. But he did say one thing of consequence. He issued a very prophetic warning to beware of the military-industrial complex and not let the military run your government.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
09315A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Join Bishop Eric Lambert, Jr. and Bethel Deliverance International Church for Fall Revival 2015. Come and hear an exciting word of encouragement and restoration with guest speaker Dr. Mark Sharona from Church on the Living Edge of Longwood, Florida. Services will take place Thursday, October 22nd and Friday, October 23rd, 7:30 p.m. nightly. For more information, call 215-885-2585 or visit betheldeliverance.org.